The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for free. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, Tommy Dreamer, and I celebrate Canada Day. Speaking of Canada Day, Jimmy Corderas. Speaking of Jimmy Corderas, we do the Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling referees. No, Jimmy Corderas, unfortunately, is not on either one of our Mount Rushmore, but we open up to the nation as well. So, yes, on Canada Day, we talk about the greatest pro wrestling and the Mount Rushmore of referees. Also, we get into Impact Wrestling and Tommy Dreamer's promo on Moose. We'll get into that. And also, just before Fyter Fest night number one, we talk to Private Party. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. I came up with my Mount Rushmore referees, Tommy, if you're interested in hearing.
Absolutely. I've been holding this whole commercial break, dancing.
I was giving you time. But again, if the nation wants to jump in on the conversation, again, this is not planned. This was organic. We totally were not thinking of when Gabby came down with the rundown for today's show. She didn't have Mount Rushmore of refs at 9:35 Eastern time. But 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93, because Tommy and I are crazy when it comes to pro wrestling.
Dave, and Before you give your list, let's wait maybe till 11:30. I'm going to put this on the Twitter machine. I have to move away all my Moose shoot promo on him feedback, and I'm going to put that out there. I want the nation to tell me who they feel should be in their Mount Rushmore of referees.
All right. Well, we do have some nation members that want to join in on the conversation. Can I take them or should I wait?
Oh, absolutely. I love hearing from the nation. I mean, Gabby's already saying, don't ask these questions. She's waving her Zoom hands all over the place. Her dog is waving his tail. Yes. The phone lines are already lit, but keep on calling in because that's what we do. That's what it's called, talk radio, to get the nation involved. The number one talk radio here and in Canada across the world.
And it is Canada Day, and Jimmy Corderas is from Canada, which started the conversation about the Mount Rushmore referees. That's where our brain works. So let's go out to Ruben in Texas. Ruben, what do you got on the Mount Rushmore of referees?
Hey, good morning, guys. I got Dan Engler, Tim White, Earl Hebner, and my favorite one that I've seen live is the New Japan referee, Red Shoes.
Red Shoes. That's a good – you know what, man. Ruben? That's a good one, Ruben. Didn't even think of Red Shoes. Wow. Ruben, great phone call. Tommy, do you put Red Shoes on your Mount Rushmore?
Dude, this is, like, hard now because there was also man, what was his name in L.A.? Jimmy Red Shoes Duggan. And I think that's where Red Shoes got his gimmick for. Was Red Shoes Tiger Hattori?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Man, this is hard. Why would you do this to me?
All right. Let's go out to Ray in Massachusetts. Ray, who's on your Mount Rushmore of referees?
On my Mount Rushmore of referees, I would have to put Mike Chioda.
Mike Chioda's a good one.
Red Shoes from New Japan.
Okay.
Timmy White. And then Dangerous Danny Davis, just because of what they did with his storyline.
And Ray, really good list of your Mount Rushmore. You know, again, another Tim White, another Red Shoes Tommy, and then he brings in Danny Davis. Now, I wouldn't put Danny Davis because Danny Davis, you know, used the rules to his advantage. But, like, you can also say, hey, Danny Davis was in a storyline. And Danny Davis was in a WrestleMania match, maybe the biggest WrestleMania of all time in WrestleMania 3. So, yeah. Danny Davis, you know, Danny Davis ain't bad.
Referee, filled out that referee spandex.
He did.
Shirt, real, real nice. Old school boat neck. Oh, man, that was Heat outfit.
Man, and Danny Davis at one point was a legit referee before he got corrupted by Jimmy Hart and the Hart Foundation. He did have like a legit career as a referee.
And then went back as a referee. He was reinstated.
Yes, he was reinstated. I wonder if Jimmy Corderas is listening because I would love to get like...
He's already chimed in. He said in his opinion, Tommy Young.
Tommy Young is number one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but our question wasn't who's number one. Our question was the Mount Rushmore. You got to come up with four. Well, I wonder if Jimmy Corderas puts himself on the Mount Rushmore. Some people are actually tweeting that I should be on the Mount Rushmore after my two stellar performances at House of Hardcore in New Jersey and at the ECW Arena.
You were excellent in both those, except for when the part when Bubba went to pick you up to sit you on the turnbuckle and you just started laying down. On top of the turnbuckle.
Well, I didn't know what he was doing.
And you look like you were probably like 300 pounds and Bubba was trying to put you up and you got all stiff.
I get it.
And then another point, I remember you go, what the hell am I doing?
I said, Bully was like, what the hell are you doing, LeGrec? And I said, I have no idea. Just sitting on the top turnbuckle. It was a really tough moment. Rich Palladino chimes in on social media. I talk about a great ring announcer. Rich Palladino might be, on the Mount Rushmore of ring announcers. That's a topic for another day. But he throws out a name that might throw everything off when it comes to my Mount Rushmore. He throws out, and this guy ruled the Meadowlands, Dick Worley.
Oof. Yeah, man. There's a Mario Savoldi. There's a lot. And it's sad because WWE has a litany of referees and we don't know most of their names is because they don't tell us who they are. I hate that.
Referees, what about Dick Kroll?
Yep, he was another good one.
Dick Kroll, I mean, he was the famous referee that, you know, when Arnold Skolin threw in the towel with Iron Sheik and Bob Backlund.
Mm-hmm. He was the referee for Hogan as well.
Oh, when Hogan beat the Sheik for the championship title?
Yep.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm not sure of anything. Sometimes I lie on the air when I'm...
No, I'm being honest. Like, is that... Was he? Because I don't think he was.
I don't know.
Just said it. I mean, I don't know.
I think he was. Then I'm also thinking it could have been... that could have been Jack Lotz that passed away. I don't know. I've had a lot of concussions. I'm living in a lake.
All right, let's go back out to the Busted Open Nation. A lot of fans want to chime in on the Mount Rushmore of referees.
What
let's
did you
go out.
Start?
Let's go out
You're
to West.
To be waving the Canadian flag today. That's it.
I'm calling it Jimmy Corderas Day because he's probably him and Nug are probably my two favorite Canadians. That's Nug hilarious. And Jimmy Corderas.
What about RJ City? Come on now.
I'm not as big a fan of RJ City as I am of Jimmy Corderas and Nug. Jimmy Corderas and Nug have given me things, have given me gifts. Let's go out to West.
RJ City has given you the gift of Andre the Giant.
He did. He was the one that told them to wear the singlet so he could show a little nipple.
That last line caught me so good.
It was fantastic. RJ City's a gift. But we should get RJ City on to celebrate Canada Day.
No.
Let's go.
He's from Queens.
All right, then why'd you bring up RJ City when it came to Canada Day?
Well, he's Canadian and American.
All right.
Doesn't count.
Then why did you bring up his name when I brought up Canada Day? But I digress, Tommy. Let's go out to Wes in Jacksonville. Wes, who do you got on the Mount Rushmore of refs?
All right, Dave. So I have Earl Hebner for one. Earl Hebner is, I think he basically defined the Attitude Era. I've always been an Earl Hebner fan. Other one being referee Nick Patrick. He was the ultimate heel ref when he joined the NWO. I also like Timmy White. Timmy White, I felt like, did some of the best selling in the ring when he would take a bump, as well as current referee Charles Robinson. I feel like I've been watching Charles Robinson since the time that wrestling started. I feel like Charles Robinson's been wearing the zebra stripe shirt. So that would definitely be my Mount Rushmore of referees. But I think moving her way up is Aubrey Edwards. I think the way that she's using social media, she's really connecting with fans in ways that referees have never done before.
Yeah, and OS, and, you know, listen, she's guest on shows. She was on Chris Jericho's podcast. I mean, there's a lot of people that wouldn't agree, because she mentioned that she would never have wanted to work in the WWE because you can't be a character in the WWE. You know, a lot of people would say that that goes against being a referee, but, you know, that's how people take it. There's no right or wrong answers here. But, Tommy, we are getting a lot of similar names on every list, which I find very, very interesting. Let's go out to Jerry in Richmond. Jerry, who's on your Mount Rushmore of referees?
Tommy Young, of course, because, well, he was in this area. Charles Robinson, because the man has longevity like no one else. Earl Hebner, personal favorite, and a sleeper pick would be from World Class, David Manning. And if I may, an honorable mention, gone before his time, Joseph Morella.
Yes, you're right, Joseph Morella, gone before his time. Thank you, Jerry. I believe he passed away in a car accident, correct, Tommy?
Yes, yeah. The Jersey Turnpike.
Yeah,
Joey Morella was a fabulous referee. But you see, Dave, now if you're going to stick to your Mount Rushmore, people are going the Tommy Dreamer route with honorable mentions. There's only four on that Mount Rushmore. There's not like a fifth person hiking up that mountain or rock climbing up that mountain. You got to just go for
four. All right. I'm going to set the rules right here, Tommy. You got to give us only four, and you got to give us our number one. So you give your three and then your number one. I'm not going to say four. It's not a list, so it's not 4-3-2-1 because it's the Mount Rushmore. But I would like to see. I'd like to hear who your top referee is. Let's go to John in New York. John, who's on your Mount Rushmore refs?
I modeled myself as a former referee after John Finnegan.
Okay.
Referee Mark Curtis, Charles Robinson, and my favorite heel of all time, Nick Patrick.
Nick Patrick is getting a lot of love, and Mark Curtis, obviously a referee in WCW. Not a bad list, John. We're getting some similar names, but then there's a couple of names that are creeping up, Tommy, that, you know, not everyone is talking about. Because, yeah. Tommy, this is where I'm sorry, not to interrupt, but this is where, like, I was a little hard on you in the beginning for fun. But this is really difficult. This is one that you really have to put a lot of thought into, because when you talk about top, like, your Mount Rushmore of wrestlers, these are things you've already thought about. Like, I don't think anyone's ever thought about their Mount Rushmore of referees. You got to put a little thought into it. It's a tough one.
Well, Bill DeMott has chimed in, and he said, Earl Hebner, Whirly, Nick Patrick, and Brian Hildebrand. And, you know, I never got to work with Brian Hildebrand, but he was an excellent ref. But then you also got to go back. Dude, here's someone else, Harvey Wimpleman. He was a hell of a ref at a time. Mark Curtis, Bill Alfonso, Earl Hebner. How about poor Dave Hebner not getting any love and affection? He was a hell of a referee as well.
Baseball is back.
60 games in 66 days. Opening day is July 24th. Forget about labor disputes and prorated pay. Now it's time to lace them up and win some ball games.
They're going crazy!
Hear every bit of breaking news and analysis leading up to the 2020 season on MLB Network Radio, Sirius 209 XM 89, and the Sirius XM app.
We got to get into Impact Wrestling from last night. And Tommy, one hell of a promo from a busted open Tommy Dreamer last night on Impact.
Well, thank you very much. It was, you know, we say that life often imitates art, and there's a reason why I went at it, Moose, so hard. And I'll share that with a picture in after the show goes off the air. But Moose and I were friends, and I've known Moose for a long, long time. I think Moose should be a lot higher where than he is. And I feel he is complacent, and he kind of has made some comments behind the scenes when, you know, listen, man, these are some weird, weird times. And the first time we went back to Impact Wrestling, you know, everyone is wearing masks, and we're all, you know, I gotta, just like everybody at home or when you go out, this is the first time we're out, and it's scary. And like I said, Impact Wrestling did everything in its power to make everyone feel uncomfortable during these times, and gave people the option not to come to work, which was really, really cool. And also paid everyone if they did not come to work, and there was no heat, no ramifications. Those television tapings were at times difficult, but like professional wrestlers, we band together. And during that time, there was one person who complained, and they complained about catering. And then another time complained that there was no more coffee, and it was Moose. And that really, really rubbed me the wrong way. Just because it's like, hey man, we're all scared. And like even driving home, like, you know, like I said, man, I drove 15 hours to get where I had to go. And then I had to quarantine myself. I had to quarantine myself away from my family, away from my mom for 14 days after that, just because I didn't want to get anybody sick. And for somebody to complain about catering, or someone to complain about the next day it was about coffee, when honestly, everyone, by day two, it was a lot more normal, and it was a lot more the boys being the boys. But yes, everyone was social distancing, and we had chairs perfectly set up away from people. But he was the first person to complain. That really, really bothered me. And there was another point, and I know you saw the where it was, and I took a picture of it, and I took a picture of it, and I sent it to him. And I sent it because a lot of times it was me, him, and Eddie Edwards always dressing in the same area. And we were in Mexico City. I wrestled Ace Austin, and I told you I was blown up. I was also like, I actually went to the doctor because I was bleeding afterwards. And I was just like, I don't feel good. And the doctor was like, and like I had them check my vitals and all that stuff. And he was like, well, you know, we're at a higher altitude here in Mexico City. Also, you've been bleeding for 20 minutes, and also you're 49 years old. And I was like, I don't feel right. Plus, maybe I shouldn't have had all those monster drinks. But I also did that. You know, I hate to break the barrier here, but old school, you would take aspirin to make your thin out your blood so you bleed more. But I drank two monsters. I'm surprised I didn't urinate during my match, but that'll happen like when I turn 50. I'll just start peeing when somebody kicks me in my stomach. I'll let it go. And then that's another story. So after wrestling Ace Austin, who's on top of his game and, you know, taking some hellacious bumps and being stupid Tommy Dreamer and trying to, and I felt I did take Ace Austin to the next level because Ace Austin will be a star. I come in the back, and, you know, I also talk about have rituals. I had a towel placed on my bag. That was my towel that after I come back from a match, I'm sweating. I know we've had Thunder Rosa come on, and like I'm talking, I get under boob sweat. I got to take care of that first, because as a lot of the ladies know, or men with man boobs, under boob sweat is horrible. It's gross. Also, I'm bleeding a lot, and I just like to like put a towel around my neck and cool down. I come back, Moose had left, and my towel was on the floor, and it had his footprints on it.
Oh,
he used my towel that I needed for my bloody head, my body. He had a towel. It was my hotel towel, but he took it off my bag and used it for his feet. so he could stand there and either lotion or so he didn't have to put his feet on a dirty floor after he took a shower, all that stuff. And man, I was furious. And that was the last day of the tour. And our hotel in Mexico City, we would walk back to the hotel. So after, like, this is now the end of the show. It's probably about a quarter to midnight in Mexico City. I have to walk about four blocks, bloody as can be, through Mexico City. Nobody bothered me because I look like a crazy homeless person in polka dot pants and blood all over my face. And that's what kind of really started this, where, you know, me and Moose stopped talking. And yeah, I'll joke around with him, but our friendship kind of went a different way. And then this whole thing that started, you know, another person is Steve, Crazy Steve, where we'll be telling his story. Crazy Steve has been my friend for a long, long time. Straight up, people, Crazy Steve is blind. He's a blind wrestler. Yep. What he does is amazing. He's a better wrestler than some people that have sight. The fact that his story has not been told does him a disservice, but it's not like, you know, he's kind of, he's a modern day daredevil. He sees shapes and he hears things and times it like ducks and people's footwork. If you think of how amazing of a person that is to be out there and performing the way he does. And, you know, I went out there to check on Moose. Moose busted me open in my face. Fine. You want to bust me open in my face? It was as real can get. I had a mask on. I had my gloves on. Wasn't really prepping to go out there. And I just kind of sometimes do as I like to do. If you like it, air it. If you don't like it, cool. Just went out there, cut a nice little promo. And then the rest has been history. And it was, a lot of people were talking about it last night. That's the backstory. And I saw, it's funny because it's a new generation. Moose has stopped following me on social media because I guess I hurt his feelings on what I said. But it's all true. You know, Moose didn't grow up wanting to be a professional football player. He did it so he could hang out with his friends. And he's so talented. Moose should be a main event player. Moose should be the heavyweight champion. But Moose, I feel, is complacent and an entitled athlete. And he's so athletic, he can do whatever he wants. Like, he didn't want to be a professional football player, but he's so good at it. And then, like, again, I know the guy. His grandmother's like, hey, you can go to college and be the first person in your family to go to college. And he was like, okay. And then it was like, hey, man, you could get paid to play football. Okay. And then he just coasted. And I feel he's been coasting in Impact. And he hasn't won a title. And what did he do? He created a fake one. That's BS. And I know that's, you know, somewhat storyline, but as well as that's just him. And cool. So we'll have to wait and see what happens between him and I. But you want to bust me open? I will bust you open as well.
You know what? I thought there was definitely a lot of truth to that promo last night. And Moose is somebody that we've covered here on Busted Open for years. And he's somebody that's been on this show before. But I have to agree with you, Tommy, in the fact that for somebody who is athletic as he is, you know, it's very rare to get a guy that's his size and as quick as he is. And obviously, being an NFL player, you know how athletic and how quick that he is. He wouldn't have been able to perform like he did in the NFL if he didn't have size and quickness. But you're right. It's almost like he wrestles uninspired. And I thought by this time he would be running Impact Wrestling, kind of the way Bobby Lashley did a few years back. Remember, Bobby Lashley came in to Impact Wrestling with a lot of question marks, and he dominated. He dominated in the ring and on the microphone. And I think finally the WWE is tapping into how much talent Bobby Lashley has. And Moose came in there, and I really did feel like he was going to be able to just ride to the top of the card, to the top of the roster. That hasn't happened. It really hasn't happened. And you're right. He created a title, Tommy. I really do feel, from the outside looking in, that he is somebody that just doesn't have a love and passion for pro wrestling.
Could be. You can maybe interview him during, I guess, leading up to Slammiversary. I won't be on that show. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you, you know, Gabby, I won't host that. Maybe you can have Bubba or Mark Henry do it. Don't know who he'll be facing at Slammiversary. If there is an open spot, love to do it. And you know what? There's a difference between when Taz created the FTW title, and then after that, it was, you know, Steve Austin created his own title. It's a lot different than just going out there and saying you're a champion. A champion, titles are won and lost in the ring, and a champion has to also conduct himself like a champion. If you're going to be a face of a brand or a face of a company, you have to act that way. And there's all cool to be about acting like a heel or acting like a jerk, but it's different when I said it last night, man, we were scared. The world is scared and we all need to band together. And for the longest time it was, hey, we're in this together, but we also don't know how long we're going to be in this together. And yeah, we need people to uplift each other as well as locker room leaders. And like I said, not locker room cancers. If you want to go out there and complain about something, either A, go get your own food somewhere else, because we had people bring us in. The reason why we didn't have coffee is because we didn't want talent pouring coffee and possibly cross-contaminating it. There's a big thing going on right now in the world. I opened up my phone to Planet Fitness. 105 people in Virginia could be infected because they went to the gym and a person just tested positive for coronavirus. And they're asking all these people, please go get tested. There's all these different things. Again, Impact did everything that they felt possible. We've seen a minor outbreak of COVID happen in WWE. We hear all the greatness that AEW has been doing, and WWE is doing great stuff too. Is this just something that we can't control? And how dare you go out there and speak out about stuff like that? It's petty little bullshit, and I'm not going to have it. And I'm not going to have it for someone who's, you're not going to disrespect me. You've already disrespected me in Mexico, and literally, dude, back in the day, and I know it's a different era, but you ask anybody, you take something off of somebody's bag, then you're also considered a thief. And the whole, oh, well, it's moose, it's okay, that don't fly with me. Especially to, and it's not just because of me, I would have fought if it was the lowest person in the locker room's towel. I would have went up and said, hey, man, that's not yours. And the fact that you're going to use it for your feet, I'm seriously, that's disrespect. And during these times, you know, again, like I said, this is real. And when a company goes out of its way, you also need to go out of your way for that company and across the board. And this is a company that's paying you. This is a company. And if not, leave. Take your ball, go play somewhere else. And that's it. That's my story with that. And that's why it came out that way. And people were like, oh, it was passionate promo. Yeah, because it's real. And we don't really have a friendship no more or anymore. And I'm okay with it. You're not going to disrespect me. And it's not because I've been in the business 30 years. Bullshit. Nope. I'm not pulling my vet card. You disrespected another human being. That's it. And if you're going to be where you want to be in your career, then either step up or get the fuck out. Excuse me for cursing because now I'm getting pissed.
Fantasy Sports Radio is 10 years old and we're celebrating the top performers of the decade with the Diamond Awards. Hear our fantasy football all-decade team announced Wednesday morning at 9 Eastern.
Le'Veon Bell, touchdown.
Plus, our fantasy baseball all-decade team Friday morning at 9 Eastern.
Out of here, Mike Trout.
Find out how you can be inducted into the Subscriber Ring of Honor. The 10th anniversary of Fantasy Sports Radio on Sirius 210, XM87, Sirius XM app, and however you stream at home.
Night number one, Tommy, of Fighter Fest. And a tag team that you're going to see tonight is from a location where you need an invitation, and that's Private Party. Isaiah Cassidy, Mark Quinn joining us here on Busted Open. What's going on, guys? They are very visual. They're very theatrical, Tommy.
Absolutely.
That light bill is about to go up.
Are you guys excited for Fighter Fest tonight on TNT?
Of course.
I think excited would be an understatement, to be honest.
Yeah, like right now, I'm up before 12 o'clock. So,
yeah,
that shows how excited I am. Can't sleep.
All right. Mark Quinn, I got to ask you this because you just said that you're up before noon. So give me almost like your daily routine. Is there, you know, some vodka and cranberry going on last night? You got a big match, so I'm sure you probably sacrificed that. And then to get up early for the interview. So tell me what last night was like for you.
I got to agree. Some things had to get sacrificed.
the cranberry was sacrificed.
Okay.
But everything else pretty much stayed the same. I remember trying to check out Jacksonville. It's a little ghost town out here. So pretty much had to do what I had. Stay down at the hotel bar. You know, I think I got in like around 4:30. And since then, I tried to do some shout out, but it ain't happening. It ain't go down that way.
Q, let me help you out a little bit. Number one, when you're speaking, please stop moving all around because we're losing some of your audio. And I know
he's very excited, right. Tommy. Big man.
I gotta keep moving. Okay.
I understand, but then we can't hear half the things that you say. And I'm just trying to help you out. I know you do your press junkets for AEW. I'm just trying to help you out here. We're here to promote the show. Right. So just calm down. And obviously your last night didn't go as good because I could see your bed. There's nobody laying in it, as well as the bed is
I got room service. Room service. They come early.
Okay. That's the way it should be. Now guys, first of all, I think tonight's match with you guys is gonna be a show stealer because I know you guys pretty well. I also know your opponents. You guys have faced off before on indies, correct? Many times.
5 years. But
yeah. And now it's next level because you're on a gigantic stage. And I know your guys rise. You guys quickly rose through the indies because of your talents. And I remember, you know, there was a big demand where everyone's like, man, these are the next guys. These are the next guys. And you've quickly risen to the ranks, but what are you expecting for tonight with your match with LAX? Or not LAX, sorry, whatever their new name is. Santana and Ortiz, the inner circle.
I'm expecting that we take it to the next level. Like, we always had the mentality of up in something more in the match. So I feel like, especially at the stage that we are today, I feel like we're going to take it to, like, the next level. And if we ever do it again, we're going to take it even to our next level. You know, so it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. I already know they're going to bring it, and I know we're going to bring it, so we're going to see what happens.
How has your life changed, really, since you... It's literally been a year for you guys.
Yep.
How has your life changed, you know, outside of the whole coronavirus and being... But, like... It was just like literally your dreams came true very, very quickly.
I would say now that when I walk in the street, people go, that's why his hair is cut like that. Because normally when I would just walk around with my hair is like this, people just like, okay, like there's something wrong with that guy. Or especially from where I'm from, they're just like, yeah, he's crazy. Or he's trying to be too different. And now when I walk around and stuff, pretty much people would be like, oh no, he's a professional wrestler. He's on TV now. That's why he looks like that. That's why he's like that. So I guess it's kind of like a sigh of relief of why I had to look like this. But then I kind of like how I look. So
it worked for Iceman King Parsons for years, bro. You look him up. He looked amazing.
What about, like, Isaiah, what about you? Because you seem, just from doing this interview, more like laid back. You know, obviously when it comes to in-ring work, that is the complete opposite, but you seem to be more laid back. So I would think that the attention probably doesn't bother you at all. I mean, what do you think?
Well, you know, once you meet your little lifestyle, you know, you've been getting the attention for all amount of years. You know, I'm in high school. I look this good. You know, I got girls coming up to me every single day. So, you know, it ain't nothing new. But as far as being on TV, that's a whole different ball game right there. It's crazy the fact that, you know, I got people, I got women, I got family, I got cousins, I just saw you on TV. So the fact that, you know, they call me and they tell me that I seen you on TV like often, and it's like, wow, that's pretty surreal, and it's pretty crazy that, you know, it came so fast, you know? But other than that, you know, everything's been the same.
But you guys also learned it from, you know, you learned your craft from a really, really good place. And it was also, you guys were also taught the right way in the sense of with respect, not only for each other, but respect for your peers. I remember the first time I met you and I was just like, hey man, what's up? And then when I watched you guys work, I was like, whoa. And there was already like, again, like a buzz, but your rise was pretty quick where, And I would see it too. And I would see it like when I, you know, was running House of Hardcore shows where, you know, we, when it would go through, hey man, you guys available here. And it was at one point where you'd work anywhere for any amount of money, but then it's like, now I'm booked, or hey, you know, you could call your own shots. That's a great feeling. Yeah. I know you guys know.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I don't know, how old are you guys?
I'm 29.
I'm turning 23 next week, Friday. So if you want to give me any birthday gifts in advance, that would be really appreciated. Specifically, I like Hennessy. I like Douce. I like Pineapple Patron. If you want to do some vodka, whatever, you know, just give you like a rough range of stuff.
How do you go
like
from heavy and then just list light?
Because once you meet, you know, nothing phases you.
So your birthday is next week, you said?
Next week, yep. Friday, July 10th.
All right, you know what? I got birthday cake in the freezer. We can celebrate your birthday. Carvel ice cream cake. I mean, we can do that, you know?
Okay, as long as
Wait, what's with the face with the you don't like ice cream cake?
It has to be ice cream. It has to be sprinkles on. You don't have to have sprinkles on. If you don't have the sprinkles on, I don't want it. You gotta have the sprinkles on.
No, he already got it in the freezer. It's old.
It's not old. I got it yesterday.
It's been left out since yesterday because Cody hung up on him because there was this big issue that's going on.
Yeah, Cody was on yesterday and hung up on me. I had gifts and everything, and he hung up on me.
Don't say anything bad about him. He's your boss.
They know because they have to deal with them, you know, almost on a daily basis. I will say this, though. I met both of you at a GoPro wrestling show just before you signed with AEW in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And you guys were so respectful. You came up, you shook my hand, which I thought was awesome. And then I remember I thought I heard Isaiah say boomer. I'm not really sure when he was walking away. Not really sure. I'm trying to, you know, figure out the lingo, you know. Like I might have told you like about how, you know, I got married and bought a house by 23 and I didn't have any debt. And I thought I heard you say boomer, but I could be wrong. See, I'm trying. See, Tommy, I'm learning things at 48 years old. No,
correct. Hey, you guys feel any pressure with the competition in the sense of, I know you said you're going to step it up, but do you guys feel any competition where, hey man, we want to kill it. I got it from ECW. It's team pride. In the sense of, hey man, if people aren't watching, we're going to go out there and make sure that they watch. Do you guys have that sense when you're performing, or like, you know, we just were discussing it for the first time in a long time. AEW lost in the great battle of the stupid ratings. But to me, it's like, okay, you beat us this week. We've been kicking your ass for a long time and now we're coming at you. But I don't know how you guys feel.
I say personally, I felt, going into Fyter Fest, yes, there is pressure because at first I was just like, all right, we keep beating them in the ratings constantly. You know, you kind of get cocky and like, whatever, we know people going to tune in. But now that we lost, it's just like, okay, so they are going to change the channel if we don't step it up. So now it's just like, yeah, we're going to step it up. We're going to do everything pretty much that we can do. I want to take it to the next level, actually. But you know, you got some people that's probably going to be like, don't do this, don't do that. But right now, I don't have no fear.
So when go ahead, Isaiah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Isaiah. I apologize.
Okay. Very good. I think with us, you know, we always have the mentality of ripping it on every show we're on or every match we have on TV because, you know, there's always a new viewer that doesn't know us, you know, and there's a chance for that new viewer to become a fan of AEW or become a fan of, you know, the brand, the Private Party. So, especially with the caliber of athletes that we have on our roster, we have to step it up. And once you have the mentality, right, I'm going to try to steal the show. I think, you know, it always works on your favor because you try to outwork everyone and do your best that you can. So, you know, you could just be comfortable or be content with your match or what you're doing, what you did out there, you know, knowing that you gave it your all. And yeah.
Well, dude. I mean, Tommy, really quick, because you mentioned about Tommy the loss in the ratings. Like we've seen it, Tommy, many times with championship teams. Yeah, you're not going to win every game, and sometimes it takes a loss to help a team grow and to get to that next level. And tonight, guys, is a big night with Fyter Fest. So, like. You know, you're mentioning about taking it to that next level. Could this be the night where you do take it to the next level, especially after what happened last week?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. Absolutely. Especially the fact that we're facing guys that we wrestled all over the world, literally. Not all over the world, but over the country, I could say. And we have that chemistry is already there, so I can only imagine what happens tonight. You know?
Yeah, and I say, no matter what, we face them all over, but my brain still works. I'm going to do something that they've never seen.
All right.
Before. You guys are super innovative, and I do. I love, I always said this to everybody. My greatest compliment is to ask people to work my shows. And yeah, I'm paying you, but I only do it because I have that same mentality that your boss does, Tony Khan. It's a wrestling company. And, you know, I booked you guys on my show, not just, you know, because I liked you. I didn't want to pay you what I had to pay you, but it's because you guys could do it in the ring. And that is, like, to me, my ultimate compliment. And for what you were saying before, don't ever get complacent. Don't ever, in ECW, man, and why people still talk about it is because we had that mentality. If Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn went out there and had the best match and they weren't the main event, then guess what? Whoever was that main event would go out there and try to crushing it even harder. And that's and you guys, and I've been there for it. AEW has put on the best pay-per-views I've ever seen. I would say Double or Nothing is one of the greatest pay-per-views I've ever been a part of or ever seen as a fan. And tonight, you know, with Fyter Fest being with you guys kicking it off, I know what you're going to do. And I know what you're going to do with Santana and Ortiz because they're my boys too. And it's when I tell you, I expect greatness from you guys and I know you will do too. But for the fans, I would say you need to tune into this because I think this is going to take tag team wrestling to the next level.
Well, thank you. Well, Tommy, who do you think is going to win?
Santana over you.
Wow.
Sorry. Why? Wow. You know, I was asked to book a finish, so I just did. It's more heat. I give it to Santana.
I'm going for Private Party. There's some great matches tonight because you have Kenny Omega and Adam Page against Best Friends. You have Cody and Jake Hager. You have the Jurassic Express, you know, going up against MJF and Wardlow. But I think this honestly, and I'm not just saying it because Private Party's on the air with us, Tommy. I feel the match that we're going to be talking about tomorrow is going to be Private Party and Santana and Ortiz. And I think, Tommy, we're going to be talking about Private Party winning in that match.
Oh, well. Damn.
That's just my opinion, Tommy.
Reaction.
Well, I think I'll take it back. I think they're going to pin Q because he was out till 4 o'clock in the morning drinking. So
4:30.
Experience will take over on that.
And now we got the experience. We got Matt Hardy. Although,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, Matt Hardy is going to be in their corner. So Matt Hardy's going to be coaching him up. Yeah. So I think that gives them the advantage, Tommy. Matt Hardy, no?
Okay.
Yeah, I got to call him.
I was asked to give my opinion. I was asked to give a booking decision.
Yeah, you forgot about the main important factor. We got one half of the best tag team, you know, to ever do it in our side.
In the world.
Guys, listen, what if he goes all Doc Hendricks on you and turns on you tonight? You don't know what market, Matt Hardy you'll get.
I think we're cool. I hope so. I'm pretty sure we're cool.
You're talking to a babyface that's been turned on by everybody. Just when you think it's cool, it gets not cool.
Well, I try to have that in the back of my head, you know.
If he comes out with a horrible mullet, dude, just know you're getting turned on tonight.
No, Isaiah, don't. Isaiah, do not have that in the back of your mind, because if you have that in the back of your mind, then it's going to be a distraction in your match. Matt Hardy's cool. Worry about it.
I'm bugging. Yeah, he's cool. He's a cool guy. You got off back.
Matt won't be on you. I'm only playing with you. You ask, hey, you put me before Dave put me on the spot about referees that got it trending. You put me on the spot. I'm going to give you my answer. I've also known Santana and Ortiz longer. I'm going to pick them.
All right, Boomer.
Nothing against you guys.
It's fair.
I like you guys.
Well, guys, get some rest. It's game day, for crying out loud. So we're so happy that you're able to come on the day of this big show, Fyter Fest, night number one. It's a pay-per-view on free TV on TNT starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And again, huge match between Private Party and Santana and Ortiz. And I believe it's going to be a match that we're going to be talking about on Busted Open here tomorrow. Guys, congratulations on all the success and good luck tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys have a good day. And watch by the fest.
Thank you.
We will. We'll be watching. We'll be
watching. Steal the show, because I know you will.
We'll be watching live and then the other show on DVR later on.
This is Aussie Football Rules America with Eddie McGuire.
One of the game's greats is Nick Riewoldt, has a great connection to America because the love of his life is from...
She's from Texas.
First of all, how did you meet?
There are two versions to this story, and my version is we met in Vegas. Her version is we met in Nevada.
Right.
So one...
Catch new episodes Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern on Dan Patrick Radio, Channel 211, and listen at home with Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or however you stream in the house.
Are you ready to give the Mount Rushmore? You ready for my Mount Rushmore of refs? We got a lot of great guesses from the nation today, by the way.
Let me give you mine since it's not laminated and it could just disappear.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you ready? Here we
go.
My number one Mount Rushmore of referees, Earl Hebner. He sits number one. Then Tommy Young sits number two. Then John Finnegan from ECW and a little run in WWE. The reason why he didn't stay in WWE because he was super tall and they didn't like the referees to be tall. They like to mutate and have all the referees look the same. And this will get people angry, but I hate to put him over because he just loves to put himself over. Bully Ray made me think about somebody who was a phenomenal ref and worked in so many matches in WWE and so many matches in Impact. Baby Hebner. He is a phenomenal referee that learned from his father, and he ousted Mike Chioda, who would have been on there. So Baby Hebner, you took Chioda's spot, but I don't think either of them care about that, so that's okay. That's my top four of my Mount Rushmore of referees. And
that's not a slide on
anybody because I've worked with some amazing referees.
Well, let me give you my Mount Rushmore right now and continue the conversation. We've gotten a lot of people in on the conversation, 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93. I'll give my number – well, I already gave my number one. I tweeted it out and I already mentioned before, Tommy Young, to me, is the greatest professional wrestling referee of all time. I know it's really from what we heard today – Tommy, I think it's been kind of split between Earl Hebner and Tommy Young. Tommy Young is tops on my list. Also, Earl Hebner would be number two. I love Earl Hebner. I mean, the work that he did, you know, throughout his career, what a wonderful career, a long career, and also a Hall of Famer, you know, TNA Hall of Famer, Earl Hebner. Dick Worley, this was somebody who I didn't think I was originally going to have, but somebody mentioned it on social media, and I probably saw Dick Worley the most live than any other referee going to the Meadowlands every single month. He was always the referee at the Meadowlands. Didn't matter if it was the WWF or Pro Wrestling USA. Always great seeing Dick Worley in the ring refereeing a match. And as I mentioned earlier, somebody who I absolutely love, and that's David Manning. So my Mount Rushmore of referees, Tommy Young, Earl Hebner, David Manning, and Dick Worley.
I like it. I like it a lot. I would disagree with one of them, but it's your list, not mine.
Would you take David Manning off?
I would take Dick Worley off.
Dick Worley, would you replace him with Scrappy McGowan?
I know you're more of an old school guy. Here's why Dick Worley, going back, listen, as a fan, it's different. Just like I'm telling you, when we're watching Continental Wrestling, we're watching all this stuff on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. There are certain things, like being a wrestler, I notice where if we want to talk about rules, back then it was just like, so like you had to follow the rules, but then you go back and you'll watch. And like, I watched this match. It was Chief J Strongbow versus an enhancement talent. And Chief J Strongbow threw the enhancement talent, not once, but twice over the top rope, hit him with a steel chair, hit him with the announce table, rammed him into the steel post because he was angry that Greg Valentine broke his leg and this was his match back.
Yeah.
And he then apologized for his behavior, but they fought on the floor for at least 2 minutes. And back, you know, back then we thought it was amazing, but now it doesn't hold up. And I've also noticed that Dick Worley, a lot of times, like if an enhancement talent left the ring, he would give you a quick count because it was almost like he just wanted this match to end. I noticed these things as a wrestler, not as a fan. And sometimes it was, he wanted the attention garnered towards him when that's not the referee's job. So that's my opinion on that. Not saying he wasn't a good referee, but there was just, and he was the referee that I grew up with.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, I would be able to name every referee because I'm insane. But per concussion, some of those fell out of my ears and I forget people's name. But it's different when you watch it now as opposed to then. So that's why this is your list and that's why your list works for you. And my list works for me and everybody else's list works for everybody else. Like no one, Baby Hebner gets my vote because I work with him and he would ask questions. He would add to the match. He would come and pull me aside and be like, well, will this work better? And I'm like, absolutely, man. Thank you. And his cadence worked and he learned from the best. And if you also think about, you know, we talk about these tree and these booking trees of Eddie Graham, you know, Tommy Young, I believe helped Earl Hebner. And then it was a trickle down effect for, you know, a lot of other people. So that's why those guys are on those Mount Rushmores.
Yeah. And like right now, it tells you the difference between companies right now, too, because AEW, you know, they let you know who the referees are. The referees become a big part of the show. And then in the WWE, they're nameless and faceless for the most part. You know, they don't make the announcement of who the official is and everything. Which do you prefer, Tommy?
I always would give the referees the credit. If they're going to be on my own House of Hardcore, I would say this match is refereed by boom. And that's the only time you're going to hear their names. Same. I would do that on television. Announce the referee to a live audience. He doesn't really have to be for television, but if the referee goes for the count, a lot of times they won't, you know, they won't mention the referee's names. You know, if it's, you know, Aubrey Edwards, you know, this close with a two count, or Aubrey Edwards telling Chris Jericho to get out of her face, or, you know, that type of stuff, to at least admonish the person's name, acknowledge the person's name. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Same like, you know, I think in football, I could probably name one or two referees, and UFC, they tell you who the referees are because, you know, they're for football. We don't know the referees until their job, they're doing their job.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.